What's up, gang? Welcome back to Podmon Horizons. That's right. We're back with another one of these, another delay on the main show. But your loss is also your gain because we're gonna talk about this. We're going to talk about episodes 4, 5, and 6. And yeah, I guess we'll just get right into it. I don't really have, you know, anyone to talk to ask about their week or anything. So, how are you? How was your week? Really? You don't say. Well, that sounds exciting and or terrifying or great or awful. Whatever you feel is appropriate for your situation. I've had a good week. Thank you for asking. And we're going to just go on and go and watch episode 4. Okay, well, I've already watched episode 4, so we're just going to talk about it now. So, you know, no bullshit or bumpers or anything. We're just going to get right into it, right? Like, there's no point in delaying. I will say, though, since I haven't got to say this on the main show, because the last time we recorded was before the album came out, the Please Stand By album is now available on Spotify, Amazon, Apple Music, anywhere that you get music. If you want to support us, Bandcamp is a nice place to go and pay $10, I think, for the album. But if you just want to listen to it, then Please Stand By, Between You, Me, and the Fence Post. Yeah, I'll try to remember to put a link tree in the description so you guys can just go listen to it. But other than that, really got nothing else to say about that. So let's get to it. So, episode 4. So Liko and Sprigatito seem to be settling in nice to their new environment. I do like how, so far, the show seems to be breaking up into... There's a continuous story thread, but, like, we dealt with Liko and Sprigatito and the Rising Voltacklers and, like, setting off on their adventure in the first three episodes, and these three episodes are kind of their own little mini-arc. So it's nice, especially doing the podcast like this, it is nice to have that kind of format and that momentum going. Also, fucking love Liko's new outfit. And the fact that the show has the budget to change up her wardrobe from time to time and not just keep her in her school uniform because that's the first thing that we saw her in and they don't want to draw, like, different character models or whatever. Like, it's nice. It's refreshing to see her in something different. And it's cute. It works with her colors. It goes well with Sprigatito. It's nice. It's cool. Anyways, they overhear Frey Coco singing to himself, which we haven't really talked about the other Pokemon that are on the ship besides the, you know, like the trainee Pokemon, like Cap and Charizard and Rockruff and all those other guys. But there's also a bunch of, like, tag-along Pokemon that have just kind of come aboard the ship and just made themselves part of the crew. And Frey Coco, who is the fire starter in Gen 9, right? That's what Scarlet and Violet are. He's the fire starter. And he likes to sit on the deck and sing to himself. But when he spots Liko and Sprigatito listening to him, he gets embarrassed and runs off. So, Freed puts Liko and Sprigatito on lookout duty, and Liko just continues to study Sprigatito's behavior. I don't think that, like, the lookout thing really comes up much in this episode, but, yeah, it's cool that they have a job to do and all of that. So the ship is losing altitude, and so they land on a small island to diagnose the problem and to find supplies. Freed knows a local who can help them, so he heads out. And Frey Coco, you know, says goodbye to Charizard. And it's really cute that Frey Coco like looks up to Charizard. And it really makes sense. Like, obviously they're both fire starters. Charizard's the original fire starter. Fuecoco is the newest fire starter. They're both like reptile fire starters, which I don't think that we've had since Gen 1. I'm trying to think of what our fire starters have all been. I think this is the first time since Gen 1 that they've both been reptiles, right? Like, there's always some kind of reptile in there. Well, not always, but typically some kind of reptile in there. But that, I think this is the first time they've both been fire starters. So that, or if both the fire starters have been reptiles. So that's cool. That's cute that Fuecoco looks up to Charizard so much. And it's just a nice little character detail, which is a cool thing about this show, is that the Pokemon have character details that aren't just like a reflection of their trainer, but they have their own like specific personal traits about them. But anyway, Liko is feeding the Digimon, but Fuecoco's not there. So she goes off and looks for it, and I think it's Molly that says that Fuecoco usually sits on the deck and like waits for Charizard to come back whenever Freed and Charizard go off and do something. And Liko is asking whatever the name of the floating Pokédex thing is, I forget. But she asks it like about Fuecoco, and it tells her his stats and everything. She's like, "Well, what was that noise he was making earlier?" And the old man comes and tells her that, or the old man just appears and tells her that he was singing, and Quaxley is with him. And I bring all this up just to say that, and this will come up more later, but oh, love Quaxley. I think this is my favorite starter set since the original trio. Like, I can't think of one that I genuinely love all three. Like, I wasn't the biggest fan of Fuecoco, but the show's won me over on Fuecoco. Sprigatito and Quaxley, though, are just perfect. And I love Quaxley in the dub. I haven't watched the sub. I may have to if the next, like, the last few episodes take too long to come out, because I'm needing more. But off the point, Quaxley's voice in the dub is just, it's like baby Donald Duck. And, it's just so good. I love Quaxley. He's the best. Anyway, I can go off on all that for too long. Sprigatito spots Fuecoco's tracks, so she and Liko go off in search of Fuecoco, who, meanwhile, is in the woods just having a grand old time eating all the food around him. Just gorging himself. Oh, yeah, and there's a boy named Roy. Taking online classes in the woods, and he's talking to his friends about finding and catching Pokemon, and like what kind of trainers they want to be, and all that stuff. He does not have a Pokemon yet. We're still on Kanto now. So they're on an island. I doubt it's Cinnabar. I wonder if it's the Seafoam Islands, one of the Seafoam Islands, or if it's just some random island in the Kanto region. But never really comes up. Anyway, Fuecoco stumbles onto a hut while Liko continues to search for him. Unfortunately, the forest Pokemon find Liko and Sprigatito, and they are not happy because they think that they ate all of their food. Roy is watching a Nidothing video, which Liko also watches Nidothing's videos, and that will come up more, but I forgot to mention the whole needle thing last time. So Needle Thing is it's a YouTube channel, basically. Or PokeTube, whatever they call it in this world. Be someone dressed up in a Needle Queen costume who gives Pokemon advice and you know, those kind of things. But like I said, I forgot to mention it last week, and it will be important later on, so we're going to go ahead and just mention that now. So put a pin in that for the moment. Roy finds that his secret base, the hut that Fuecoco found, has been disturbed, and he hears a song and follows the sound. And of course, it is Fuecoco, and Fuecoco runs off. Roy chases after him, and Fuecoco is about to fall into a, like, dried-up riverbed or creek or something, but Roy jumps in and saves him. Freed is asking the village elder about parts for the ship when villagers come and tell the elder that Pokemon are rampaging in the forest. So Roy and Fuecoco are just chilling, hanging out, shooting the breeze, getting to know one each other, and Roy asks Fuecoco to sing. Fuecoco's kind of hesitant about it at first, and Roy's really encouraging and, like, supportive. And Roy starts singing, and Fuecoco joins him. And it's a really cute little bonding moment between the two of them. Meanwhile, the forest Pokemon continue to chase Liko and Sprigatito, but Roy and Fuecoco save them. Roy shows Liko his ancient Pokeball and tells her that he wants to be like the trainers of old that fought legendary Pokemon and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Lore stuff, which is cool. Cool to have lore. And also, like, setting up some bigger goals for the character and yada, yada, yada. But the forest Pokemon find them and string shot them and drag them back into the woods where they had kept their food that Fuecoco had stolen. So Freed and Cap come in, do some gymnastics, and wrap the forest Pokemon up in their own silk. And they feed them to calm them down. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of resolves the conflict. So we talked about last time about, like, Freed's thing of, like, withholding information being the whole bit with his character. In this episode, Roy figures out that Freed is a professor before Liko does, which is, you know, fun. So the Voltacklers leave. Freed, Liko, Sprigatito, Charizard, and Cap. They all leave and go back to the ship. And Roy is left there, just big sad. And later that night, Liko wakes up to Fuecoco singing on the ship. Since we see Amethio for like 10 seconds at the end, it's worth mentioning, I guess, that the pendant and the Pokeball, the ancient Pokeball that Roy had, were both glowing whenever they were being chased by the forest Pokemon. Like I said, it's just worth mentioning that. But yeah, that's that episode. And so let's go on to episode 5. So, Roy sneaks aboard the ship while everybody is sleeping. Well, everybody but Cap, who subdues the nefarious nocturnal ne'er-do-well. I'm sorry, I'll stop with the alliteration. Roy tells Liko that he's here for one reason, and Liko gets super nervous and is like, I'm not ready for this plot twist or whatever. That's the last thing that Liko needs is a boy to confess his undying love for her or whatever she thinks is going to happen. But it's okay, because the reason is Fuecoco. And the reason is Fuecoco. I hate Hoobastank, by the way. Anyway, after the adults chastise him a little bit, Freed asks Roy why he wants to see Fuecoco. And, like, he wants to sing songs and go on picnics and look at the stars and yada, yada, yada. And Liko tells Roy that it sounds like he wants Weikoko to be his partner. And Roy's like, well, yeah, actually, that sounds great. Let's do that. And Free's just like, well, hold on a minute. Like, that's not how we do things around here. Like, you don't get to just choose a partner and then beat the shit out of them and then throw a Pokeball and then they're stuck with you whether they actually like you or not. Weikoko has a voice in this too, which is, you know, that's nice. You know, that's a nice little change to the dynamic there. But anyway, so Liko and Roy go and look for Weikoko, but they can't find him. And so Roy starts singing Fuecoco's song to lure him out. And Sprigatito, this happens a couple of times in this episode when Roy starts singing. Sprigatito just glares at Roy with just a death glare. It is hilarious. Like, Sprigatito is not a fan of the music. But yeah, there's no luck. But they'll continue to search for him in the morning. And Roy is worried that Fuecoco doesn't like him. But Liko reassures him and tells him that she and Sprigatito didn't get along great at first. But then they got to know each other and figure out what they had in common. And now they're besties and now they're partners. And it's a nice little moment that Roy ruins by singing, which Liko acknowledges that he ruins the moment. So that's a nice little lampshade there. Outfit change for Liko in the morning. It's, you know, the same outfit without her jacket, but it still counts. They still had to draw it differently, actually draw her her shirt and everything. So everybody got a good night's sleep, except for Orla, who stayed up all night fixing the ship. Free takes Roy back to his grandfather's house. That is also the village elder's house, because Roy's grandpa is the village elder that Freed knew. Fuecoco finds the berries that Roy left for him in the kitchen, and when Molly tells him that Roy left them, he freaks out and hurries off in search of Roy. Grandpa Elder shares some snacks with them that are like kebab kind of things. One looks kind of like a Caterpie. It's green. One looks kind of like a Weedle. It's yellow, which gives Liko and Freed the idea to use Weedle and Caterpie string shot to patch up the ship. A bunch of villagers show up to eat lunch, and Roy and Liko play with the local wild Pokemon. Fuecoco is searching for Roy, but can't find him. But he does spot the explorers on the water. Amethio sends the underlings to draw the others out of the ship while he goes after Liko. Fuecoco overhears this and runs off in search of help. Luckily, he runs into Roy and Liko and tells them that there's something going on down on the beach down where the ship is. So Freed goes to check it out and tells Liko and Roy to stay in the village. Molly and the others spot the explorers heading for the ship. They fight Onia and what's his name? Zerk. Fight Onia and Zerk while Freed has a rematch with Amethio. Liko Pokemon, but Onia finds them first. And I just love how much Onia loves Sprigatito. It's just the best little thing. What she call her? My Whittle adversary or something? Or my Whittle nemesis? Roy throws Pokemon to the ship while Liko and Sprigatito stay back to handle Onia. Molly and Chansey hold off Zerk while the others board the ship. Roy and Fue Coco stand up to ride on to let Molly escape, but which, you know, she does get away, but his ember is no match for ride on. So Lico shows up and tells Roy to let Fue Coco know his true feelings, which he does by sing cheering him on. But it works. Like, it's a nice little moment, honestly. Because Roy is going, go, go, Fue Coco. And Fue Coco is going, co, Fue Coco. And so they're doing it together in this nice little, like, bonding team moment between them. And like I said, it works. Fue Coco puts out a big enough blast to knock back Rhydon. And Frieda's watching and is super impressed. Unfortunately, as Emethio points out, he is in the middle of a Pokemon battle and needs to stop getting distracted. Because Emethio uses that opening to go after Lico. And that's it. That's the episode. We're left on another cliffhanger to find out what happens next week. Or next episode, because these are all on Netflix, so... So yeah, we're going to go find that out right now. So, on to episode 6. Lico's pendant glows. Roy's Pokeball glows. Free tries to help them, but Zerk and Onia cut him off. Emethio sends Ceruledge after Lico and Roy. Sprigatito and Fue Coco try to fight, but don't stand a fucking chance. They do manage to get a hit in, though. But Ceruledge is about to straight up murder the sweet babies when Roy's Pokeball glows and out comes a black Rayquaza. And my dude is not happy with anybody. He just starts fucking everybody's shit up. The explorers dip, and Roy tries to get black Rayquaza back into the Pokeball. But he says, nah, fuck that, and also dips. Rockruff finds a shelter on the beach and gets bit. And Quaxley finds the bug that the explorers had put on the ship that I think I forgot to mention earlier. But he finds it and destroys it, so all good. Grandpa Elder tells them that the Black Rayquaza used to be partnered with an ancient hero. Charizard gives Fue Coco a Pokeball, which he gives to Roy to let Roy catch him, which is such a cute moment. So Roy and Fue Coco are officially partners now, and I do love that I don't think we've ever seen Sprigatito in a Pokeball. Like, since she came out of her Pokeball in the first episode. And Roy immediately lets Fue Coco out, and he's just always chilling. Like, I like that they don't keep their main partner Pokemon cramped up in the Pokeballs. And I also like that we're 6 episodes in, and obviously, like, we spent the first 3 episodes establishing Lico and the Voltacklers, and these 3 episodes with Roy. So there hasn't really been time for it, but I also like that 6 episodes in, Lico hasn't caught another Pokemon yet. Like, that's not the focus of this show, and I like that, because 6 episodes in, what did Ash have? Obviously Pikachu, he had Butterfree by then, right? Yeah, he got Butterfree. Caterpie evolved to Butterfree in, like, episode 5, I think. And he had Pidgeotto. So, like, and then, like, by 10, he had Bulbasaur and Charmander and Squirtle. And so then, like, that was the focus of that show, really, was catching all the Pokemon, or, you know, enough Pokemon to have some variety and sell cards and toys and win gym battles and all of that. And that's just not really where this show is, like, put its focus on. And so it's nice because it allows Liko to have a real relationship with Sprigatito and Roy to have a real relationship with Fuecoco. But yeah, like Liko said, the song could still use a little work. Freed and the others are about to leave, but Fuecoco doesn't want to say goodbye. And Liko tells Roy that it's time to take the first step on his adventure. And so Roy goes to ask Grandpa Elder if he can go with the Rising Volt Tacklers. But Grandpa shows up on the beach expecting this question. He even brought Roy his things. Because for the first time, Roy is not just thinking about himself and his dreams, but also about Fuecoco's dreams. How Fuecoco wants to be big and strong like Charizard and all these things. So, you know, Fuecoco brings out the best in Roy. Roy brings out the best in Fuecoco. It's how a partnership should be. And I will say, it is very Digimon, but it's the thing that Digimon has always had that Pokemon has lacked, which is, like, real partnership and friendship and like, better than the sum of its parts kind of thing. And so it's nice to see that in Pokemon, because I've always kind of missed that in Pokemon. Like, they've always felt more like pets than friends, but there is a friendship and a bond here that is really refreshing. Amethio, back at base, I guess, gives his report and gets chastised for fucking up. And now there is a new explorer after the Rising Volt Tacklers. But Amethio isn't giving up, and he and his crew are going after the Black Rayquaza. Roy officially meets Captain Pikachu and returns the flag. And the villagers wave goodbye to Roy as the brave Olivine sets off on their next adventure into the sunset. And that's it. There wasn't as much this episode. Like, the action was packed more towards the beginning with Rayquaza and all of that. Most of the episode was just kind of tying up loose ends and getting Roy on board and all of that. So, but fun little three episodes. I had a good time. Always have a good time watching this show. And next week, we will, well, hopefully, again, be back with more Podmon, but who's to say at this point? I think that regardless, though, I will be back with another episode of Podmon Horizons next week. And, yeah, I don't really have anything else to say. Thank you guys for listening, and I will see you next week, one way or another. We'll talk. All right. Goodbye.